Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'd like to thank you for calling in this morning. Hope everyone had a restful, peaceful night as they laid down before the Lord, amen? And he woke us up again. Hallelujah, to see another great day that he hath created. Amen. And I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They have a program that comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which will be tonight. And the name of their broadcast is Turn On The Light Broadcast. Turn On The Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, with a senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. The lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. And you can catch them on Facebook and also their website, www.comingtothelight.org. That's www.comingtothelight.org. And also, LOTW Stockbridge, Light of the World, W Stockbridge. So I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Look around and it brings me to tears. God is real, but the world is cold.
The preacher, 'cause he got problems of his own, and we've lost respect for the teacher because her passion is gone, and nobody cares about the widow. They say she's better left alone, and they walk right by the homeless, but they'll give a dog a home. As crazy as it seems, I'm not surprised, and we've been messing up for a long time, but God should not be judged for the things that men does. He's a real God, but it's a cold world. Brother Bobby asked the question, oh, what's going on?
Breathe out.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. No matter how cold this world may seem, still serve a real God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you once again for calling in. We're going to get into the word. Amen. Going to be coming out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23rd chapter, verses 6 through 8. Proverbs 23, verses 6 through 8. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version. And it reads, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, not with his head, but as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And drink, said he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words." The title of the message this morning is As Is. As Is. A-S-I-S. As Is. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before you once again, to dwell in your presence, Father, to sit at your feet, to lay on your bosom, God, to receive what you would have to say to us, to equip us and get us ready, God, to prepare us to go out and do what you called us to do. Father, though the challenges and the persecutions and the tribulations and trials and tests that we face may seem impossible, but your word says that with God, all things are possible to them who believe. So we believe, God. We believe everything that your word says. We trust and rely on you, God. And we thank you for the victory now. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. As is. I've often heard people say, when people show you who they are, believe them. When people show you who they are the first time, believe them. We want to talk about as is this morning. Years ago, a wise man told me, said, if you really want to get to know someone, just sit back and let them talk. And they'll tell you all about themselves. I never forgot that. If you really want to get to know someone, just sit back and let them talk, and they'll tell you all about themselves. You don't even have to ask one word, because if you just listen, they'll tell you everything you need to know about them. And one way is that sometimes they're talking about other people or they're sharing other people's business. Remember last week we talked about meddling in other men's businesses, staying in your lane, so to speak. Mind your own business. The Bible says a wise man are careful with his words. And it even says that even a fool, when he is quiet, is considered to be wise until that fool opens his mouth. So I never forgot that. If you really want to know the, if you really want to get to know someone, just sit back, let them talk, and they'll tell you all about themselves. So you sitting here telling me everybody's business, and you're going to ask me something personal about myself. The devil is a lie. I ain't telling you nothing. Only what I don't mind saying, yep, that's what I said. I said exactly that. But I will not share anything personal. As is. Let's read Proverbs again. Proverbs 23rd chapter, verses 6 through 8. This time I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. And then I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. New Living Translation, Proverbs 23rd chapter, 6 through 8. And it reads, don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They are always thinking about how much it costs. And drink, they say, but they don't mean it. You would throw up what little you've eaten, and your compliments will be wasted. Says, eat and drink. Some people say, oh, just take whatever you want. Have at it. Eat all you can eat. But deep down inside, they're saying, I hope they really don't take that much. Because if they really knew how much this food costs. But it's even deeper than that. Because it's what's in their heart. That one thing there sounds like the love of money. And where the love of money is, there's the root of all evil. So let's keep that in mind. If someone is being stingy, they're putting their focus on money. So the Bible says that where your treasure is, that's also where your heart is. What you treasure the most, that's where your concern is. That's what you hold on to. That's what you value. A lot of people value money. And they'll do anything for it. They'll do anything for it. Now let's read this same passage in the Message Translation. Verse 6 says, don't accept a meal from a tightwad. Don't expect anything special he'll be as stingy with you as he is with himself. He'll say, eat, drink, but won't mean a word of it. His miserly serving will turn your stomach when you realize the meal's a sham. The truth will eventually come out. People can only hide a lie for so long, or their real intentions, their agendas. Let's look at the word sham. Sham is a trick that deludes. It's a hoax. It's cheap falseness. Hypocrisy. Cheap falseness. Hypocrisy. It's an ornamental covering for a pillar. And when I think about that, what we call pillowcases, some people call shams, but also, people use shams as like a decorative pillow, so to speak. But the focus is on the way that that sham looks. But you really can't see the actual pillow. That pillow may be the filthiest pillow you ever seen. Or it may not even be a pillow in there at all. Just something shaped to make it seem like it's a pillow in there. That's what I thought about when I thought about this definition. An ornamental covering for a pillow. Sham is an imitation or a counterfeit purporting to be genuine. Seem genuine. You seem real. But as people say, you're imitating a fraud. Imitating a fraud. Meaning that not only are you not real, but you're imitating something else that's not real. Perpetrating a fraud. Having such poor quality as to seem false. That's what sham is. Yesterday, my wife and I, Stephanie, we were riding around looking for something to eat. And we really couldn't decide what we wanted. So I saw a sign, and it said, "Best wings in the world." I'm like, what? Best wings in the world? I've had some good wings. And those of you who have even tasted my wings know how good my wings are. My boast is in the Lord. But I'm just speaking the truth. Best wings in the world. So we pulled up and went to see what they were talking about. As soon as we walked in, I noticed how dark and dim it was on the inside. And it was a young lady at the front greeted us. And so we took a menu, and we were looking at the menu to see what was on it. And then I noticed I told my wife, she over there biting her fingernails. I mean, she's removed her mask and is standing at the register, at the place of hosting where they greet people, biting her fingernails, not trying to hide. And I asked them, I said, you see her over there? Yeah, I see her. So we continued to look on the menu. And someone had called that young lady over. They had a question. And so I'm watching her, and while she's walking over to them, she take her hand that has been in her mouth and wipe the back of her jeans like she's cleaning them. And I'm sitting here looking at this stuff. And then so Stephen said, so what you want? You see anything? I said, yeah, I see quite a few things. But I'm ready to go. She said, what? I said, I'm ready to go. I walked out of that place. Because my thing is, all right, you're a reflection of this particular company. So if I'm seeing this and you're not being ashamed about it, you're not trying to hide, you just blatantly, nastily, filthily standing up there biting your nails, but then you're going to ask me, what do I want to order? No, that's not going to happen. And so I got to thinking, and I'm like, if we're seeing this, I know somebody else sees it. And so your mind gets to thinking, like, if she's that kind of person, then what are the folk back in the kitchen doing? Those that we can't see who are actually touching, putting our food together. And nothing may not be going on. But the image that was portrayed, I mean, first of all, you got on your sign, best wings in the world. So going from that sign to the inside of your establishment, to me, that's a sham. More like a shame instead of a sham, and even a scam, because you're trying to take my money, and to me, that's false advertisement. Best wings in the world, but you got somebody standing up there biting their nails, taking people orders. That's what I thought about. So now that I've released, we eventually went to a place and walked into the establishment, and the atmosphere was great. Employees laughing, giggling, you know, having a good time. Nice working environment. Being nice, cordial. And also you can see the cook actually grilling the food. So it's no secrets, no shams, nothing to hide. So after that bad experience with the so-called best wings in the world, I actually ended up having me a great meal. But that's what I thought about when I thought about the word sham. I'm going to read this footnote regarding this passage. And it says, do not accept invitations to eat with a stingy man, for if he entertains you at his own expense, he will begrudge every morsel you eat. Then it says, the stingy man says to eat and drink, but he does not mean it from the heart. On reflection, you will see that you were not welcome, and you will regret your acceptance of his invitation. So that's how I felt when I walked out of that restaurant. And I thank God that I didn't get anything to eat, because that would have been dealing with me. Eating this food and thinking about that young lady biting her nails. Thank you, I didn't have to go through that, Father. I received a message a couple of days ago, and someone said that they wanted to support the ministry, Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. And they asked me if I had a Cash App or, you know, any type of way to receive the support. And so I thought about it, and you know, I mentioned it to my wife, and I said, well, Lord, I thank you for, you know, this opportunity. But, and I failed to mention a couple of weeks ago, August 8th, was my 1 year anniversary of being on Blog Talk Radio. But we've been going through something personally, and I didn't even think about it until after. But at the beginning of each broadcast, if you notice, I give a shout out. I give a shout out to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who has a broadcast that comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their broadcast is Turn On The Light Broadcast. Well, I do that for a reason. This man approached me, and without even knowing me, I mean, we were connected through, you know, a mutual person, but this man had not even met me, and he opened the door for me to be on this program, and I thank God for him every day, because one thing is, he saw the calling on my life, and he knew that God had put something in me needed to be shared with the world. So I thank God for that opportunity, for yoking us up together. And so this is how, you know, I'm going to handle this. I would rather you listen to his broadcast also at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. And they give you a list of different ways of how to support their ministry. He and his wife are such great people. They do so much for the community. One thing they do is they have an after-school program for children. During the summers, or even throughout the year, they have different activities going on at the community center that their church has. So something is always going on with them. They're constantly busy trying to help other people. And so my appreciation, my way of thanking them and honoring them, because the Bible says give honor where it's due. I am so grateful. And I'm humble and appreciative that someone will be willing to support the ministry that God has given me. But one thing that will put my heart at rest is for that support would go to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. I would greatly appreciate that. So that's how I want to handle that. I thank God for those two. Now let's continue in the word. Just wanted to share that for a minute. Let's go to St. Matthew's. St. Matthew's, the 24th chapter. St. Matthew 24. And we're going to start at verse 1. Talking about as is. As is. St. Matthew 24th chapter, first verse. And it reads, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." They were trying to show Jesus how nice the different buildings look. Oh, look at the bricks on this one. Look at the windows on this one. Look at the shape of this one. Jesus said, "You see all these buildings? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So Jesus was telling him, don't get caught up in the building, because the buildings are eventually going to decay. The buildings will eventually be torn down. The buildings will eventually be no more. So the important thing is not the building. That's what he was trying to get them to understand. And verse 3 says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" That's the biggest question that we have right now, especially right now. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. When is the world going to end? Why are people even asking that question? If you really thought about it, why do you want to know when the world is going to end? And most of the people that ask that question when you look at the fruits, I'm just going to say that. When you look at the fruits, some of those people that are asking that question should not be asking that question. Verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. First of all, don't be deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Be mindful of that word, many. See, Jesus just don't say things just to be saying. He's specific, and he's particular. So he said, and shall deceive many. Verse 6 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. So we're going to see some things come to pass. In this world, you shall have tribulations. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So, not only do those tribulation comes, but also the victory, triumph. Overcoming, that comes also because he has overcome the world. So don't get caught up in the tribulations. Keep your mind on the victory. And then he says, but the end is not yet. It doesn't mean that the end is here. Yes, the end is near, but some people see things and automatically, oh, the world is coming to an end. Yes, it is, but it's not the end yet. Verse 7 says, for nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, even today. In the last week, we've seen where earthquakes have been in different places, different parts of the world. Pestilences. What can fall under a pestilence? Sickness, diseases, viruses. We'll stop there. Famines, food shortages, contaminated animals. We see these things happening. Verse 8 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Not the end, but the beginning. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, what is Jesus' name? Christ. And those who follow Christ are called Christians. Christ. I-A-N-S. So he said, ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, because you call yourself a Christian. You shall be hated of all nations. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There, those two words again. Deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's the key. The love of many. So the many that shall be deceived, I wonder why. Could it be because the love of many shall wax cold? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. All those nations that will hate you because you call yourself a Christian, says, in all the world for a witness unto all nations, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And then shall the end come. So, what is the last thing we're waiting on? For the gospel of the kingdom to be preached in all the world to all nations. Then, it says, the end will come. We are commanded to preach the gospel, to share the good news, to teach all nations of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, to the four corners of the earth, the four corners. That means every part of this earth must be touched with the Word of God. And by any means, we still have those who are missionaries going to certain areas in this world where only they can go. Vehicles can't take them. Even helicopters can't take them. Boats can't take them. They have to actually walk to certain parts of this earth. Then we have the technology. Who knows how far technology is reaching? And then the thing that they have now called 5G, where stuff's supposed to be moving at an instant, technology-wise, no, the end is not here, but the end is near. But I want to focus on verse 12. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let's look at that word wax. Wax means a fit of temper, rage. Does that sound familiar? Anybody been watching the news lately? So-called peaceful protests. Peaceful protests eventually turning into looting, beatings, even killings, acts of violence, of temper, rage. Wax means to increase. It means growth. So the love of many shall grow cold. That's why I played that song earlier. We serve a real God, but it's a cold world. Wax means to assume a specified characteristic, a quality or state, to become. So the love of many shall become cold. Warm is the result of someone being loved. It's a warm feeling. A feeling of comfort. A feeling of peace. A feeling of safety and security. That's how love makes you feel. But it says that love will become cold. We're seeing that today. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. I'm going to be closing out. We're going to start at verse 1. Talking about as is. Verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's a prophecy. In the last days perilous times shall come. Hard times, difficult times, grievous times, painful times. They're going to come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. The Lord just said this. That doesn't just mean in the natural. Because those who call themselves Christians, another word is sons and daughters. Because they call me Father. This is God speaking. So they call me Father, but they don't obey me. That's what I heard when I said disobedient to parents. God said to share that. It's not only natural, people. See, the Bible is written, is written to the church folk. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. Number three says, verse three says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, despisers of those that are good. The world, as we talked about last week, don't do evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Sounds like a sham to me. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. Exactly. That's why you should give it to him. Give that heart that you say God knows to him. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's all about intellect. It's all about what you know. A lot of things are called facts. Another thing we talked about last week. A lot of things are called facts, but what's the truth? See, a lot of people rely on facts versus truth. Facts is what people say. The truth is what God says. Let God be true, and every man be a liar. So whatever is said by someone, it must be weighed and tested by the word of God. Does it line up with what God says? We're going to skip down to verse 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So evil men and seducers shall grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the many. It says evil men. It didn't say sinful men. It says evil men. Because remember I said, he's talking to the church. Those who are evil, it's because of what's in their heart. It's a matter of the heart. Verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learn them. Continue in the word. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And this is where I wanted to get to. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Man wrote the Bible. Man was used to write the Bible under the anointing, under the power, under the leading of Holy Spirit, the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, who is it written to? That the man of God may be perfect. May be perfect. Well, what's perfect? Perfect is faithfully reproducing the original. If you say you're Christians, you should act like it. Show them God as is. As is. Be who God called you to be. Father, thank you for your word. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Love you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. God bless you.